I want to welcome you again to this week's lesson on recoding the brain. I'm really excited about this lesson. The subtitle on this one is How to Eliminate Doubt. Oh my goodness. Now boy, in this lesson, now last week he wouldn't let me prepare a lesson ahead of time because he wanted me to follow him through that lesson. And I enjoyed that. I hope you did. It was some important truths on this line upon line teaching. Now today's lesson is exactly the opposite. He started dealing with me a few days ago on this one. And I've got notes prepared that I'm going to stick very close to so that we get this all in this lesson. I don't want to make two parts out of it. Now we're going to look at two very specific events that teach us so much about the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit and how that co-labors with our faith. And one of them is Peter walking on the water, and the other one is that man that brought his lunatic son for the disciples to cast it out. And doubt was involved in both of those that stopped the supernatural power of God. See, I remember in the early days, because I had been raised probably like you were, you know, and well-meaning people in church would say things like, God is sovereign and God can do anything that he wants. And I don't argue with that. God is sovereign, but he sovereignly chose how this was all going to work when he started creating the whole world and gave man dominion over the earth. God sovereignly decided to do that. And now he's sovereignly working with our faith, and our faith has something to do with it. God sovereignly set it up that way, and I can't change it, and you can't change it. All we can do is learn how to flow with God and how he has set everything up. So let's start. Let's look at Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's good for us to just hear the word of God once in a while. Just, it's good for you. It's like eating your vegetables. You know, you can't live on dessert alone. Got to have some vegetables in there. Good, my mom would say, good and good for you. Okay. Settle down, Gary. Okay. Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. Of course, I'm reading out of the King James. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. You could say, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. I mean, it scared them. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. It's me, boys. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, now this is so important how Peter words this. We'll talk about it here in a minute. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Let me say that again. Peter, we already saw Jesus walking on the water, but Peter, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Which, by the way, I have found over my many years, anytime you're sinking, that is a really good prayer. Lord, save me. And he will. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, here's our lesson today. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? See, doubt causes you to have little faith. Now, I'll just tell you ahead of time, I'm not really interested in walking on the water unless there's a need to. I mean, we don't find Jesus walking on the water all the time. You know, there was a need. That's not today's lesson. Trust me, he will come walking on the water to meet your need too. Okay, but that's another lesson. Today we're looking how to eliminate doubt. Well, obviously, doubt is involved here when Peter starts sinking. So I'm not really interested in a lesson on how to walk on the water, but I am totally interested in knowing how faith works. So now see, let's come in agreement here on something. A human, according to the natural Newtonian physical laws of this world, you know, where force equals mass times acceleration and E equal MC squared and all of those things, you know, what we call the natural laws. Listen, it's impossible, according to the natural laws, for a human being to walk on H2O. We have mass and density that is quite different than the mass and density of water. And without a ship or something, it's not possible for just a human to just go walking on the water. We all know that, okay? All right. But see, now this is a rhema word to an individual. This is not a general word. We'll get into that in a minute. But a rhema word to Peter, an individual. Notice nobody else got out of the boat trying walking on the water. See, and if you spend time in fellowship with God, especially to the point where you start understanding what he wants you to do in the earth, I could say your calling, but whatever it is. And people have all kinds of callings. You can read in Romans 12, you know, some are exhort, some minister, some have a ministry of giving, some showeth mercy. So there's all kinds of things that God has you do in the body of Christ. And as an individual, we all have general words. We'll look at that in a minute. To all of us. But there, you'll find out there are specific words, you know. Like for us, like Sue and I, in the beginning of our ministry, he doesn't tell this to everybody, obviously. But for us, he told us to give everything away free. I'm not against ministers selling books and tape. It costs money, my brothers and sisters. You'll find out real quick. You start operating in any kind of ministry, it's going to take money. And you're going to need to get instructions from headquarters, from the head of the church by the Holy Spirit, how he wants you to operate what it is he's called you to do. Well, for us, he just told us, and I don't put this on anybody else, but he told us to give everything away free. And for example, not to tell anyone our personal needs or the needs of the ministry. I'm not against that. There was a missionary in Poland that we worked with there for quite a while, and I went over to visit him because I tell people all the time, listen, don't imitate, don't try and operate on my instructions, what he told me to do. The only thing I want you to imitate is go pray until you get your own cotton picking instructions, you know, and do what he tells you to do, see? So I say that all the time, but this missionary friend, he was so, he admired those things, give everything away free, don't let anybody know your needs, that he was trying to operate like that in Poland, and they were about to starve out. And so I got to asking him, I said, well, did Jesus tell you to operate like that? He said, no, I heard it off of your tapes. Well, did you hear the part where I said, don't imitate that? I said, listen, God has me in the United States now. He has me function. He knew how this would work, and it's been working fine. But listen, you're over here in Poland. Nobody even knows you're here. You know, and he was doing a great work over there. It had translated Dave's book, had it translated into the Polish language. He was distributing that, setting up meetings everywhere, working really hard to make disciples. And I said, listen, a lot of people would help you if they knew what you were doing. It's not wrong to send out appeal letters in the sense of, you know, don't promise them things that aren't true, you know, like, you know, God will make you a millionaire if you give to our ministry or anything like that. But I said, it's fine to let people know what you're doing and then just leave it up to them if they want to help or not. Just give them an opportunity. At least let them know you're here and what you're doing. A lot of people might help. Well, I even helped him write his first appeal letter. So, and things turned around for him. Okay. You got to do what Jesus tells you. But I'm just saying, if you spend time, we all have general words. That's really the subject of today's lesson we're going to get to in a minute. But listen, if you spend time doing the blueprint or doing what even more fundamentally, what Pastor Dave taught us, spend time in the Word of God, meditating the Word, praying in the Holy Ghost, spend time worshiping the Lord, spend time, do some fasting. We'll see, that's important. You're going to begin to get your marching orders. You're going to start getting your instructions. You'll progressively understand your calling and what it is he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. Okay, That's not today's lesson. Today's lesson specifically is how to eliminate doubt. Okay. So, and we're going to study a specific rhema word. Jesus has never told me to go walking on the water, but he did Peter. He said, come. Okay. But now, see, we're going to be studying a rhema word, but faith works the same in every realm. Whenever you're going to act on the word, whether it's a general word or whether it's a specific rhema word to you, faith is still going to be involved. Okay, so we're going to learn some real lessons today about faith, what doubt really is, and how to eliminate doubt. Okay, now let's talk about the general words. For example, I'm just going to focus on two of them. But you know that Jesus said, those that believe, in Mark 16, he said, just two of the things he said. He said, I want you guys, the 11, I want you to go preach the gospel everywhere. Now, those that believe, so that's talking about all of us, even 2,000 years later, one way or another, all of us believe because of the words that we've read written by those disciples. So all of us, these are general words to all of us when he says, now those that believe, well, that's us. This is every believer. Dave would preach on this and call it the believer's anointing. Of course, most of you know when I say Dave, I'm talking about Pastor Dave Roberson. I'm so blessed to have had him my pastor for over a quarter century. But here's two general words. You can read them in Mark 16 for yourself. Two things to all who believe. Hello, that's all of us. In my name, they will cast out devils. Now that's to every believer. Dave would say, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. All of us have authority from Jesus in him, because we have his name, to cast out devils. Let's just take one more. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, I've seen that happen some. I've seen it happen, not happen, probably more often. But that is going to change because, as we've taught many times, he's taken us to Jesus meetings, the kind where it's not here and there just by the gifts and you never know what's going to happen. No, a Jesus meeting is where he healed them all, first time, every time, no exceptions. And he's going to be using believers, the bodies of believers, like Joel's army, to get it done. So here's two general words. Those that believe, hello, in my name, we have his name, they shall cast out devils, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right? Now, see, that's only possible by the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. It's the same way with Jesus. He said, listen, I cast out devils. In one place, he says, by the Spirit of God. And another time, he said, I cast out devils by the finger of God. Well, see, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus would speak those words, somebody's got to enforce that. Jesus didn't walk over there and slap the devil out of the guy's face, you know. So he would say, come out, you know. But it's the Holy Spirit, the finger of God. See, the Holy Spirit really is the hand of the God the Father does not leave. He's not making trips back and forth to planet Earth. God the Father is on the throne in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's not making physical trips. He stretches forth his hand by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. I cast out devils by the finger of God. The finger of God is on the hand. I do like that analogy. How much power does it take to cast out this devil? The finger of God. Okay. I like that. But see, these are general words, but you got to understand it does require the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit to cast out devils. It requires the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power, let me say it that way, of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to a sick person, especially if it's a terminal sickness, you know. Well, we saw Jesus operate that way all the time, but he plainly said, it's not me really doing the works, it's the Father in me. What do you mean the Father in you? By the Holy Spirit. The Father is our Father, which art in heaven. The Father's not making trips back and forth. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Father in me. Okay. You got that same Holy Ghost in you, by the way. All right. Now let's talk about, I hope you've been following these lessons because they really are line upon line. 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe more, We started talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it talks about, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. The natural man can't know them. The gray matter, the 3.5-pound brain that God gave to each of us, it is designed on purpose to believe what it sees in this world. I'm going to say it again. Here's why God gave us the gray matter. If you're standing on the curb and you see that the bus is coming, your gray matter will say, do not step in front of the bus. You're supposed to believe what you see to navigate in this world. But see, the natural brain, the natural man cannot comprehend. It cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God, the spirit of God, because it tells you in the next verse, these things are spiritually discerned. So what has to happen now that you're born again? You can have the mind of Christ. You have a mind in your new spirit man that has the capacity to know the things of God and to be taught by the Holy Ghost. Thank God he didn't just give us a book and say, go figure it out by yourself. He gave us the book and a teacher. Glory to God. I thank God when I was in college learning integral calculus and differential equations and things like that, thank God that we had a book and a teacher. And even with that, I struggled to make it. But anyhow, thank God he's given us a book and a teacher to help us understand. All right. Now, the event we're looking at first here is Peter walking on the water. Now, number one, the gray matter, the 3.5-pound brain, does not believe a human can walk on water. Peter didn't even ask Jesus. Jesus, make me walk on the water. He didn't say it that way, because the natural gray matter can't go with that. But you know what Peter did believe, and I mean even in his gray matter, there were neural pathways in his gray matter that believed this. He believed that anything Jesus said would come to pass. Well, he'd watched that in the meetings over and over and over again, not only when they'd have the meetings, but like when they'd go through towns and meet people and Jesus would speak. Whatever Jesus would say would come to pass. Now, Peter watched that. He saw it with his natural eye, and it made neural pathways recoding his natural gray matter. He didn't believe a human could walk on water, but he did believe that anything Jesus said would come to pass. Anything Jesus said was possible. And I mean, he believed that with the gray matter because he'd seen it again and again, maybe hundreds of times. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame. Whatever Jesus said would happen. So that's a neural pathway that this man had in his natural brain, okay? Because he'd seen it again, and I'll believe it when I see it. Well, he's seen it, and he's seen it, and he's seen it probably hundreds of times. Whatever Jesus says will come to pass. So that's why he words it that way, because Jesus knows if Jesus says it, I can do it. So that's why he says, if it's you, bid me come. Plain English, tell me to come. If you tell me to come, I know it's possible. Whatever you say, Jesus, that's possible. You tell me to come, I can come. And so Jesus says, come. Now here's a man with a rhema word from Jesus. I noticed none of the others tried to step out of the boat. Jesus didn't say that to them, but he did to Peter. See, again, I got to go back to these specific instructions. You'll get your own specific instructions, and don't try and put them on other people. You know, you don't see me going around, you got to give everything away free. He didn't, nowhere does Jesus ever say that, but he said it to me personally. That's how he wanted us to function. But anything Jesus says, you can do it. My natural brain did not think it was possible. And I'll be honest, the people that I shared that with, other than Sue, well, our natural gray matter didn't really either. We just obeyed anyhow. A long story. Can't go back to that. But the natural, I didn't think that. But whoever thinks that'll work, just give everything away free. But he told us this too. He said, If you'll obey me, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and to provide for you and the needs of the ministry. And he's been doing that now from 1996 through 2025. And as you can tell, I haven't dried up to be a skeleton. I've had plenty to eat. Got a roof over our head, 2 cars in the driveway. He's a good God. He's a good provider. What he says to you is possible. Just like Peter. If you say for me to come, my faith is I can act on anything you say is possible. So Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat. Give me a second here. These pages are trying to stick together. Now, when you got to understand this now, Jesus says, come, which means Peter, walk on the water, which Peter, you know, come. Peter, he believes whatever Jesus says is possible. Now, that means when Peter heard the word come, Jesus didn't force Peter's legs out of the boat. Peter's own gray matter had to send signals through the nervous system, down through the spinal column, to the feet and the legs. Step out of the boat. And that, of course, they obeyed. I mean, you know, your feet and your legs don't really have a will of their own. They're going to obey the instruction that comes from the gray matter. So he left reasonings. The natural mind says, you can't do this, I'm sure. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. But Peter, he had neural pathways in his brain, in his natural brain, because he had seen it. With his natural eyes, anything Jesus says will come to pass. I can do it. If he says to come, I can come. Now notice, when his, work with me here, when his feet leave the boat and that first step is on the water, maybe he jumped out with both feet. You know and I know he's going under unless, and I don't know how it works. God hasn't shown me a vision of how it works, but somehow, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is keeping this man's feet on top of the water. You can't do it. I mean, Jesus is over there. But the Holy Spirit, based on the word of Jesus, because Jesus said, come. Peter's acting on the word of God, the word of the Lord. He's coming. And the Holy Spirit will always co-labor with you when you are acting on the word of God. Specific or general, if it's even on the general. Now, this is a specific, but Peter, you got to understand, Peter's faith is working here. Now, see, okay, so the Holy Spirit, I'm about to get ahead of myself. The Holy Spirit is working supernaturally now with the faith of Peter. Now, some people might say, no, he's working with the faith of Jesus. No, he's not, because you know what's about to happen. Peter's going to doubt, and he's going to start to sink. That tells you right there, do you think Jesus' faith wavered? No, Jesus never wavered in his faith. The Holy Spirit here is not working with the faith of Jesus to keep Peter's feet on top of the water. He's working with the faith of Peter. And as long as Peter has his eyes on Jesus, and he's doing what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is adding the supernatural power of God to enable him to do something that really is not possible according to our natural physics on this planet, but he's doing it. So you got to understand that the Holy Spirit, he works with faith in the word of God, not with our human reasonings. He's working supernaturally now with the faith of Peter, and as long as Peter is focused on Jesus and acting on his word, it's working. But the moment that Peter returned to seeing with his natural eyes instead of with his internal eyes looking at Jesus, when he saw the winds boisterous, you know, all of the paintings I ever saw normally shows Jesus walking on this glassy sea, but it says it was a raging storm. I mean, who knows what this really looks like, you know? But when Peter returned to seeing with his natural eyes, the winds boisterous, that's when the reasonings of the gray matter began to take over. That is called doubt. Because we know that because Jesus said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Now, you've got to get this. Doubt stops the supernatural working power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, religion has a hard time with that. You trying to tell me, you puny little human, that your little doubt can hold back the power of Almighty God? Yes, I'm saying that. Why? Because the Bible says that. It's telling you right here. Peter, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and he's acting on the word of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working supernaturally with his faith. And yep, this is how it works. Here's my power. I'm just like holding up the feet of Peter. Here's the Holy Spirit. Here's Peter. He's walking on the water, okay? But as soon as Peter's, the reasonings, the gray matter starts becoming Lord again. I hate to say it that way, but that's really what it is. The natural soul, the natural thinking, the natural man, the gray matter, as soon as it starts going, you better look at this. This is not possible. And what's so funny is the way it's worded. When he saw the winds boisterous, what, you mean he thought you could walk on the water if it was a calm sea? It's just the reasoning's taking back over. Let me say, stay with these notes. I'm going to say it again, real plain. Doubt stops the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit from manifesting. Now, this next point is so important. See, so often when we pray and we don't see results, like especially praying for a loved one. I have prayed for loved ones that I just can't tell you how my heart was joined with that person. I'm thinking of two in particular. Doesn't matter who they were. But boy, you talk about praying with everything in you. Prayed with everything in me. And nothing happened. To see, when that happens, and in both of these cases, they wound up dying eventually. Want me to come pray for you? Hey, I'm working on it. I've also seen them recover, okay? But we want it first time, every time. That's why he's teaching us these lessons. He does too. Here is such an important point. When Peter begins to sink, did you know it didn't change the will of God? What was the will of Jesus? Come. Did Jesus change his mind? No. No, it's still his will. Come. Do it. Do what I tell you. Jesus didn't change his mind. Let me tell you about this too. It didn't change the will of Peter. Peter was still wanting to go to Jesus. So the will of God didn't change. The will of man didn't change. The only thing that changed was doubt. We so often pray, and if it doesn't work, we think, well, it just wasn't God's will. That's not true. Gary, how can you say such things? Because the Bible does. I've already been through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've already studied it out for myself. You can go do it, or you can just take my word for it. I've already done it. There is not a single case where anybody came to Jesus for healing, whether it was in a meeting or individually. There's not a single case where anybody came to Jesus, where he turned them away and said, it's not the will of God to heal you. Not a single case. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, have you seen Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? If he heals them all, like, we, you know, again, weeks ago, we went through those seven times. It just stayed in the book of Matthew just to prove we weren't duplicating meetings. Seven times in a row, and some of those meetings had thousands of people, probably hundreds that got healed. Hundreds of devils come out. And it says he heals them all, or it says they brought all the sick, and he healed them. The same thing. All. Peter had watched it hundreds and hundreds of times. He knew the will of God. All right? It's about time we knew the will of God. But you got to understand, it was the will of God, because Jesus said come. It's his will for Peter to come. It was the will of Peter to go. And it's still the will of Peter to go. When we pray I haven't said it yet. When we pray for healing and they don't get healed, we tend to think, well, it wasn't his will. You're not going to find that in Scripture. You're just not going to find that in the New Testament. Jesus healed them all. First time, every time, no exceptions. When I've meditated on that, I thought, well, there's probably grouchy people and kind people and sweet people and not so sweet people. And maybe people that had arguments with their wife or their husband that day and who knows what all. But he healed them all. He healed them all. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Okay. You've got to understand, when Peter began to sink, it's not because it's just not the will of God that Peter walk all the way across there. Yes, it was. Well, you puny human, you're trying to tell me that your doubt can stop the supernatural power of God? Yes, that's exactly what happened, because when Peter started to, and Jesus called it doubt. We can call it reasonings. We can call it common sense. We can call it whatever. But when he saw the natural, when he got his eyes back on the natural, remember, the natural man, he does not know the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Anyway, you understand. When Peter began to doubt, it severed that power of the Holy Spirit, whatever he was doing, however the molecule changer does it, to keep Peter's feet above the water, or on the water, let's say it that way. As Peter doubted, that power, it left. Thank God he cried out. And again, I'm telling you, it's a good thing to cry out whenever you're sinking, Jesus, save me. He will. Now I'm going to read this from the notes. I just want to make sure we get it in. Doubt is what stops the flow of supernatural power. Quit falling for the lie. It's not the will of God to heal that person. It is the will of God to heal that person. Either that, or just take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out of your Bible. Because Jesus, again, I've already studied it out. There's not a single case, not one, where anybody came to Jesus that they did not get the healing that they came for. All of them. Doubt, I'm going to say it again. Doubt is what stops the flow of supernatural power. You can't lay it off on the will of God. Well, it just wasn't the will of God. Yes, it was. Okay, going on. When we don't see the power flow when we pray, we tend to think it's because God is not willing to do it. But you can plainly see that's not the case here. Jesus was, come on. It was the will of God. Jesus didn't change his mind. The power flow was not stopped because the will of God or man changed. God still wanted Peter to, it was God, Jesus, God in the flesh, still wanted Peter to come. Peter wanted to come. It was stopped by doubt. The reasonings of the natural gray matter brain, that 3.5-pound brain, taking dominion over the word of Christ that Peter initially stepped out on. In my life, in this many years of being in ministry, over a quarter century now, Sue and I have had many opportunities to disobey what the Lord said to us. I don't have time to get into all of it, and I want to get into the rest of this lesson. But I'll just say, how did Kenneth Hagin say that one time? We used to, what? He would say, oh, I haven't had a headache in 50 years. And we go, what? You haven't had a headache in 50 years? He said, and then he would say, oh, I've passed up some marvelous opportunities to have one. In other words, a pain would come, but he wouldn't receive it. And just short, you know, okay, and just right away is gone. You know, just, nope, I don't receive that. John G. Lake said very similar things in his writings and so forth. Well, Sue and I, we've had many opportunities. I can't tell you how many times my natural reasonings tried to take over. You better let people know you're going to go under if you don't let the people know the situation where they, you know, I was trying to get the counsel that I gave to the missionary to myself now. People would help if you just let them know. But that's not what he said to me. That's not what he said. Thank God. I mean, I've been halfway through writing those letters. No, come to my, what are you doing? That goes in the trash. No, no, no. We're gonna do what he said, no matter what it looks like. We're gonna do what he said. I feel like the three Hebrew children. Well, whether he delivers us from the fire or not, we're still not gonna bow. We won't bow to your image. He's able to deliver us, whether he does or not. We're not going to bow. And that's about the way I felt. Circumstances, you better, better let them know. You better send an appeal letter. No, no. Now, again, I'm not against appeal letters. I just know what he said to us. Okay. Let's look at the second one here. We're already over halfway through. I'm looking at the clock that's on here. Going over to Matthew 17, let's look at the man who brought his lunatic son, because it's a very similar situation here. Let's just read it. Matthew 17, verses 15 through 21. I'm reading in the King James as usual. Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, excuse me. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Now notice, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, many books and things have been written, many messages taught that this was a particularly nasty kind of devil, and that when Jesus said this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, that he's talking about that devil. But that is not what Jesus said. When they said, why couldn't we do it? He said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus saying unto them, because of your unbelief. Can I substitute doubt? Same thing. Because of your doubt. What has to go? He's not saying this is a particularly nasty devil. Listen, the name of Jesus is above every name that's named. It's not, he didn't, the devil was not the problem. Jesus didn't have any problem casting him out. The problem here is not that devil. The problem here is doubt. This kind of doubt comes not out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, let's dissect. Let's meditate. Let's really meditate now. I'm going to stay close with these notes. He's been preparing me for days for this. Now, you got to get this understood. Jesus never did anything that wasn't the will of the Father. Agreed? Well, Jesus cast the devil out. What does that tell you? It was the will of the Father that this boy be healed the whole time, even when the disciples prayed. If it wasn't the will of the Father that that devil be cast out, then Jesus wouldn't have cast it out, because he didn't do anything that wasn't the will of the Father. Well, let's go back to the natural father, the father of this lunatic boy. It was his will that that devil come out and that his boy be healed. We're not told much about what kind of mind, what kind of mental state that boy was in, but we know for sure the father, his earthly father, wanted that devil cast out. Our heavenly father wanted that devil cast out. And Jesus, the Messiah, wanted that devil cast out. So we've got to get it straight now. It was the will of the boy's father that this son be healed. It was the will of the disciples that this boy be healed, or else they wouldn't have prayed. They knew the will of the Father. They knew the will of their Lord Jesus. I've sent you to cast out devils, and they've been casting out devils. And it was the will of God the Father for this boy to be healed, because Jesus only did the will of the Father. It was the will of the Father that that boy be healed from the very moment the disciples prayed for him. And you got to understand this, the disciples had already been casting out devils in the past. What was the problem here? It's not got anything to do with the will of God. It's not got anything to do with his willingness to help. It's, you know, when we pray and we don't see the answer, we normally default to, well, it just wasn't the will of God. I can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was the will of the Father that the boy be healed. Doubt here is the problem. Doubt. Jesus told him, it is because of your unbelief, and that's the same thing, because you doubt it. You doubt it. See, doubt, we learned from what looking at Peter a while ago, and now we can see the same thing here. Doubt is when you are moved by the natural circumstances, I could say, by what you see, what you hear, what you feel. Doubt is when you are moved by the circumstances instead of the Word of God. Now, years ago, I did a study where I went back, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give this account of this lunatic boy, but they give more details, different details in each account. They're all the same event, but Luke records some things that Matthew didn't. Mark records some things that neither Matthew or Luke did. So I put them together one time, and if you put them all together, here's what you're going to find out. What did the disciples see? Now, they've been casting out devils many times. This one presented circumstances, more manifestations than most of them. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, put the accounts together, here's what you're going to find out. Number one, well, Jesus had already authorized, I've given you authority to cast out devils. So, and they had been casting out devils, so get that. So they had a track record of casting them out. So what was different in this case? Remember, in Peter's case, he got his eyes on the circumstances of the wind and the waves, okay? Here's what they're seeing. If you put all those accounts together, one of them, it says that devil would throw him into the fire. Sometimes it would throw him into the water, trying to kill him. It says the boy couldn't speak, but he would cry out. In other words, he couldn't speak and said he was dumb in the sense that he couldn't speak articulate language. But he could cry out. I wonder what that sounded like. Says demon on the inside of him. And it says the demon would tear him. We don't have a whole lot of words to describe that tears him. I'm trying to think, you know, was he groaning and in agony and crying? It said he cried out and screaming. Well, you know, they're seeing all of this. It says, one of them says he was foaming at the mouth. So here comes this boy and tearing and agony, roll over into the fire, throw him into the water. He can't talk, but he's screaming and crying out. It says he foaming at the mouth, and he gnashed with his teeth. You know, I'm just trying to get this image of what they were seeing. And it said bruises, his body, bruises would appear on his body. Bruises. This demon somehow it said it would bruise him. And it also said he pineth away. You look that up. I did pineth, you know. But pineth away means he looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over it. He hardly ate anything. So here, try and see what they're seeing. Here comes this skeleton boy. I can't talk. I'm gnashing with his teeth, foaming at the mouth, rolling into the fire, rolling around, thrashing. The agony, and God only knows what the sounds coming out of him sounded like. This is what they're seeing. And just like Peter observing the natural circumstances, they're observing these natural circumstances. And these manifestations cause them to doubt. Jesus said the problem was doubt, your unbelief. Did you know the devil, that demon in that boy, tried the same thing with Jesus? When Jesus said, bring that boy to me. Now, before he's cast it out, bring that boy to me. Look at Mark's account, Mark chapter 9, verse 20. This is so important. Same account, same thing. Mark's account. Mark 9:20 says, and they brought him unto him. They brought the boy unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit, that demon, tear him. And he's trying the same thing in front of Jesus that he did with the disciples. That spirit tore him. He fell to the ground and he wallowed foaming at the mouth. Can you get the picture? He's trying the same thing on Jesus that worked on the disciples. He's trying to get Jesus to focus on these circumstances and how, what a big bad devil I am. But Jesus was never moved by the circumstances. Jesus was only moved by the word of God. Glory to God, about to have a running fit. I don't know if you ever feel those things. Woo, be moved by the word. As long as Peter was moved by the word of God, acting on what Jesus said to him, he could do supernatural stuff and walk on the water. You can too, and do supernatural stuff. I mean, not necessarily walk on the water unless he tells you. But here, that demon, that devil is trying the same tactic on Jesus that he did on the disciples. It worked on them. It would not work on Jesus. And Jesus never let his reasonings, he never let the gray matter be Lord. Did you hear what I just said? Therein is the problem. We too often let the gray matter be Lord, the natural reasonings of man. We get ourselves focused on the circumstances. That's why I almost wrote those appeal letters. My eyes started getting on. If the bills are coming due, the bills are coming due. Where's the money? Where's the money? You better do something. You're going to go under. Natural reasonings. That's called doubt. There's only one cure. You got to go back to what did he say? What does the word of God say? That's what you act on. Okay. I'm having a good time here. Excuse me. I went to preaching instead of teaching, but it's okay. It's good for us sometimes. Now, look at Mark 9:23. So here's this, if you can get the picture, this thing's flopping on the ground in front of Jesus, foaming and gnashing its teeth, you know, no telling the sound. It might have been really horrible, like something you've seen in a horror movie or something, you know, guttural, I don't know. But look at Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. Now, when Jesus saw the people come running together, because they're all going to be moved by it too, but anyway. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, here this thing's flopping and groaning and tearing and gnashing and foaming. You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And it still, the spirit cried, and rent him sore. It's still trying to work on the faith of Jesus. Still trying to move Jesus into doubt, rent him sore, and then like he's dead. Everybody thought he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Glory to God, glory to God. Now look at Mark 9, verses 28 and 29. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately. I love how Pastor Dave would bring this point out. They knew better than to ask him publicly. If they'd have asked him in front of all the people, Jesus would have answered them in front of all the people. No, we better get him private where we can hear this. They said, when they got him aside privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now again, if you've got to put them together, it's because of your unbelief, because of your doubt. And when I put all these gospels together, it was easy for me to see. They got their eyes on what that devil was doing. It tried the same thing with Jesus, wallowing, foaming, gnashing teeth, crying out, everything in the world, trying to get, it worked on the disciples, not on Jesus, trying to get them reasoning with the gray matter instead of acting on the word of God. I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That's what they needed to act on. Now, all of that reminded me of something. Remember in the beginning of these lessons, he took me all the way back to a document. And really, it's something that he said to me way back in the 80s. And right at this point, he reminded me of it again. I'm just going to quote it to you again. I've already read this in previous lessons. See, how do you eliminate doubt? Well, the mind has to be more renewed to the word of God than it is attuned to the natural things of this world. There's a time to be attuned to the natural things of this world. Again, if you're about to step off the curb and you see the bus coming, do not step in front of the bus. But when it comes to functioning in the kingdom of God, he's going to ask you to do things that are beyond the reasonings of this world. The kingdom of God is not limited to the Newtonian laws of physics, where force equals mass times acceleration and E equals mc squared. That's all true in this natural world. But God has supernatural power for us that's not of this world. It's impossible for man to walk on water, but Peter did. This devil was trying to make it to think it's impossible for them to cast him out, but he cast him out. So here's what the Lord said to me all those years ago, and I think I just within the last week or two read this to you. But he said to me, the king and the kingdom are within you. The king and the kingdom. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. Christ is the king. The whole mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of second witnesses when he wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, you are the temple of God. And really, that word temple really is the Holy of Holies. It's the word specifically for the Holy of Holies. You are the Holy of Holies of God. Where you go, the presence of God goes. You know what? You know what form of God? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know what form of God was behind that veil where the Ark of the Covenant was? It was the Shekinah. That's a type of the Holy Spirit. It's the cloud. When Moses disappeared into the cloud on top of Mount Sinai, man, we could, I guess we'll do some lessons in the future about the Shekinah. Okay, I better read this. This is something he said to me way back in the 80s. You know, God will speak to you 30 years ahead of your maturity. He told Abram roughly 30 years before they had Isaac, you and Sarah's, you know, you're, a nation's going to come out of you, meaning you're going to have lots, you're going to have kids. 30 years later, roughly, before that happened. Okay. The king and the kingdom are within you. You know that's true. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And Colossians 1:27, the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you. So the king and the kingdom are in you. He said, receive the revelation of how great is that king within you. Well, boy, right there, that name that is above every name. We talked about Peter last week also. After when he healed the man at the gate, when the Lord used him to heal the man at the gate, beautiful. He said, don't look on me or John like it's us. It is that name through faith in that name. We have that name. The king and the kingdom are in us. Then he says, receive the revelation of how great is that king within you and how great is his willingness to use his power on your behalf and on the behalf of others. He continued, he said, when these two things are realized, the power flows. The revelation of God in a greater way is now imparted to your spirit. And I believe he's saying that to you today after hearing this lesson. The revelation of God in a greater way is now imparted to your spirit. And they're talking about your spiritual mind. Cast yourself with utter abandon on the arms of my spirit. Is that not exactly what Peter did when he stepped out of the boat? He totally relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to enforce the words of Jesus. The disciples should have done the same thing to enforce the word of Jesus when he gave them authority to cast out devils. Then he continues here. He said, I better read this whole paragraph. I'll try and do it this time without interjecting my thoughts here. Okay, the king and the kingdom are within you. Receive the revelation of how great is that king within you and how great is his willingness to use his power on your behalf and on the behalf of others. When these two things are realized, the power flows. The revelation of God in a greater way is now imparted to your spirit. Cast yourself with utter abandon on the arms of my spirit, saith God. You have nearly left reasonings now. You have nearly seen the futility of reasonings. How does it help to focus on the circumstances? futility. You know, Job said, I hear Job said this while he was swallowed in the belly of the big fish. He said, those that observe lying vanities, you're in the belly of a big fish. Those that observe lying vanities forsake their own salvation. I can't be moved by this. And the whole time he's in the belly of that fish was taking him right to Nineveh, right to the spot where God wanted him to be so he could obey God. Anyway, that's another lesson entirely, but it's a good one. I'm still reading from what he said back in the 80s. He said, cast yourself with utter abandon on the arms of my spirit, saith God. You have nearly left reasonings now. Boy, it's time. There's a time to listen. Don't step in front of the bus, but there's a time to step out on the water when he tells you. There's a time to believe him. That's where he's taking us right now. We have a general word that believers, hello, believers, those that believe, hello, you, me, us, shall cast out devils. I don't care what circumstances. I don't care how bad. Dave talks about seeing them, you know, humans come slithering up to him on the floor like a snake. There's no telling what all, you know. But he says, you've nearly seen the futility of reasonings. Keep coming. And then he said, see my face. See Jesus walking on the water and walk towards me. Now, he's not telling me there to literally go walking on the water. But the very things that we've learned today about Peter and how he was able to do whatever Jesus said he could do. Listen, whatever he tells you, you can do. And whatever he says to us in general, we can do if we will believe. Now, he said this kind, the subtitle is How to Remove Doubt. Is that right? Let me say it exactly. So on the title page here, yeah, how to eliminate doubt. Well, he says this kind of doubt, this kind of unbelief cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Yes, my brothers and sisters, fasting is going to be involved with removing doubt. Oh, and we are out of time. Got 2 minutes here. Prayer and fasting, as you know, are a major part of the blueprint. Several times in there, he talks about fasting. But the whole point of the blueprint, what we call those 10 prophecies, is come away with me, my beloved, in every way. In the word, meditating of the word. Every time you go through the word, neural pathways, trust me, are being created in the gray, even in the gray matter. Time spent meditating the word and praying in tongues is time spent in the classrooms of the true teacher of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit. All of these things cause the eyes of our understanding more and more to be enlightened. Exactly what Paul prayed, that the eyes of our understanding. You have a spiritual mind on the inside of you that sees with the very eyes of Christ. Progressively, as we do what he's called us to do, we are leaving the realm of natural reasonings. Now, that's how you eliminate doubt, and are being trained in the possibilities of the kingdom of God. Let us be those that leave reasonings and the realm of doubt, and let us be those that Jesus talked about. He said, to those that believe, all things are possible. Spend time doing the blueprint. Do all of it. Meditation of the word, time in worship, prayer, especially praying in the spirit, and yes, even fasting. This kind of doubt, this kind of unbelief comes not out, but by prayer and fasting. Love you so much. I hope you got something out of that. Boy, I did. I'm having a good time. See you again. Boy, right at an hour. We made it. See you again next time. Love you so much. Bye-bye.